This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
My prediction is that by the time I'm guest hosting this week, the ACC will still be intact as we know it. UNC and Duke do not leave this week. Not because I don't think it'll never happen, but because I think everyone's on vacation. That's the intel that I have. No one is working this week. So you can rest easy for another week. If UNC and Duke are going to leave the ACC, it ain't going to happen this week. And again, my theme on the take is, I don't have a prediction for you. I'm not smarter than everyone else. There's people who, you know, have read the grant of rights. We talked about this with Brian Geisinger, who've read every word and know all the legalese in it. I am not one of those people. There's people who, you know, especially when something like this happens, they check in with all their sources at the ACC league office or, you know, athletic directors, whatever, around the country. I am not one of those people. But I have lived in North Carolina long enough to know that as much as I roll my eyes at, like, pulling for a conference, like, right, I do it. I still roll my eyes on it. Like, I certainly roll my eyes at the SEC when somebody does, like, it just means more, right? We kind of, in the ACC, it feels like we started doing an ACC chant when we beat an SEC team at, like, a bowl game, almost like in jest because it's something that the SEC team would do. But I've been here long enough to know that the ACC – matters, especially to people in North Carolina. As Brian reminded, or maybe Dennis, producer, reminded me, like, we just gave $15 million, or budgeted to give the ACC $15 million to stay in North Carolina, which they probably would do anyway, right? I don't know. I can't speak to Clemson or Florida State or Miami. I haven't lived in those places. I don't know them that well. I don't have my finger on the pulse. I've lived in North Carolina, been here a long time. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see a world where the people who run schools, the legislatures who run the people that run the schools, and the general, the people who live in the state, let the University of North Carolina, or even Duke, which has fewer constraints in that regard, being a private university, just up and walk to the Big Ten. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. And my guess is that the part of the Duke interest is getting UNC and Duke together, right? Like, you want that, you want that basketball rivalry. Mm-hmm. As much as Duke is a huge standalone tentpole brand entity in the college basketball world, like, their biggest games are going to be Duke UNC games. And so if you want Duke and you're doing that for that's all television contract deals, you want to guarantee two Duke UNC games as part of that television contract. All right. We're going to have a little fun. Yesterday, and I don't know how many years this has been going on, Independence Day plays every day, plays all day on Independence Day. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Back in the day, my friends and I used to talk about what we would do if we ran a cable channel. And one of the things is, you'll appreciate this, we would have a lineup of movies that, like, just everybody liked. And that would be all your, like, filler stuff, like Overnight, Mornings, whatever you needed just to fill in time. You've got, like, you know, those certain movies. One of our key concepts was whenever there's a sporting event that, like, a large portion of people are going to be watching, Super Bowl, I mean, even Kentucky Derby, NBA Finals, the College Football Championship game, whatever, we would counter-program to that with programming during the commercials. Like, we'd be sitting there with our programmers and be like, hey, when the Super Bowl goes to commercial, or when the national championship game goes to halftime, we're going to have 20 minutes of funny programming running on our show. It might be a Robot Chicken 15-minute episode. It might be 20 minutes of our favorite Saturday Night Live clips all, like, run back to back to back to back. But people would know, oh, instead of commercials, I'm always turning over to the watch this instead of the commercials channel, right?
Yeah, hit that last button.
We would be
remote.
The watch this instead of the commercials channel. And another staple of our cable channel would be marathons. And not like marathons like Law and Order, like you run one episode, then another episode, then another episode. I'm talking either you run the same episode of the same show in a row or the same movie. Example, you know how people always tweet out, like, oh, the dinner party episode of The Office is on.
Yeah.
The Office, the dinner party episode is on. Well, then one weekend, we're just running the dinner party episode all weekend long. 48 hours of the dinner party office episode, right?
Or you can do like an episode, like you're watch this instead of the commercials, all cold opens.
Yes, you do all the cold opens. Or you could break up an episode and have it play across five or so commercial breaks or whatever. It's only like 22 minutes of TV. You need three commercial breaks and you got it in.
Yeah.
But another one of our ideas for this cable channel that we wanted to run, Permar's cable channel. Ready?
Okay.
On special days, we will run movies or maybe TV episodes related to that day nonstop. Okay? This Independence Day, we would run Independence Day for 24 hours.
Okay.
That already happens. Kudos. Although I saw somebody else running Independence Day. There was two Independence Day running at one point. So I think we can get the rights to it. So that the ones that already exist that I know of. Independence Day on Independence Day. Christmas Story on Christmas Eve. Although I think maybe they go noon to noon. Maybe they go noon to Christmas Eve on Christmas Day. I can't remember the exact dates. But they've been doing that for 20 years now. Maybe more. Groundhog Day on Groundhog Day.
Sure.
I think AMC does this. You got to have Groundhog Day all day on Groundhog Day. Especially that one like fits into the plot of the movie too. Like, right? Like running over and over and over and over. So you got to have that. Other ones, I've asked for suggestions and we got some good ones. Okay. This one always runs on Thanksgiving, but I don't think I've ever seen it do the all day run on Thanksgiving. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Classic.
Great movie. Geared towards Thanksgiving, and that's like one of the things. If you turn on any local news program on the morning of Thanksgiving, let me tell you what they're going to do. They're going to be making food, cranberry sauce or mashed potatoes or something, and they're going to have a reporter at the airport talking about travel on Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah. Right? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is about traveling to get to Thanksgiving dinner. Play Planes, Trains, and Automobiles all day long on Thanksgiving. We said Groundhog Day. All right. We said Independence Day. Other ones we want. Halloween. Got to run Halloween, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of competition there. Like, you could do Hocus Pocus. You could do Friday the 13th. Now, wait a minute. We're not putting Friday the 13th on Halloween. You know when we're putting Friday the 13th?
On Friday the 13th.
When Friday the 13th comes around, we're running. I don't even know which ones are good and bad, but we're running at least the original, maybe multiple ones over and over and over. I think somebody does do all the Halloweens on Halloween.
Okay.
So we've got that one. How about Miss Congeniality?
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you remember. It doesn't even have to be a great movie. It just has to be a movie associated with the date. So William Shatner asks this question and gets this answer.
Describe your perfect date.
I'd have to say April 25th. Because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
What else are we playing on April 25th?
That
movie needs to play some Bravo, E. Someone's got enough space to put that on for the whole day.
I have one real quick for you.
All right, no.
When Harry Met Sally.
Okay.
This one comes from my girlfriend because in Harry Met Sally, the holiday that this movie's based around all of, New Year's Eve.
They keep ending up together on New Year's Eve.
They keep getting up together on New Year's Eve.
All right.
So I got to go When Harry Met Sally, New Year's Eve.
Harry Met Sally is your New Year's Eve. And it fits because everybody thinks New Year's Eve you're supposed to be at a party. And some people are. And so there, if you're at a party, you're not watching a movie, right?
Uh-huh.
But what are most people doing? Sitting on their dang couch.
Exactly.
Because they're lamenting the fact that they're supposed to be at a party. And they're like, I don't want to be at a party. I'm just here with my girlfriend. What do you want to watch? Guess what? Harry Met Sally just started again.
Bingo.
On 8 o'clock over on Wii. On the Wii network. I'm running out of networks, so we can put something on USA soon. We still got USA.
Yeah, we still
got right.
Oprah Winfrey Network.
Mean Girls. Is that still a thing?
I think so.
Mean Girls.
Yes.
Is running on October 3rd. Why? I meant to give you the video clip for this one, too, with the audio, where remember she's describing how obsessed she is with the guy that she has a crush on. His name escapes me. Somebody out there screaming his name at me. And she says, on October 3rd, he asked me what day it was. And she says, it's October 3rd. So why is Mean Girls a great movie?
Aaron Moore and Moore.
Here we go.
On October 3rd, he asked me what day it was.
It's October 3rd.
Every October 3rd should be Mean Girls Day. Run it the whole day. Couple other ones. Great one. Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Memorial Day Monday. Memorial Day is traditionally the, like, school's out for summer day.
Mm-hmm.
Memorial Day Monday, Dazed and Confused. May the 4th, I think we kind of always already do this. Somebody who owns the Star Wars. But, like, on May the 4th, it should just be A New Hope. Star Wars should just run the Star Wars A New Hope, Episode 4, May the 4th. May the Force be with you. That one should run. Back to the Future. The first day that he goes back in time is October 21st, 1955. So October 21st, that should be all day Back to the Future Day. I'm trying to think if I got any other on my list. Oh, we got some good ones. On the first day of the Junior Goodwill Games every year,
D2, the Mighty Ducks.
Every year that starts. I also, like somebody said, on NFL Draft Day every year.
Uh-huh.
Like the NFL, well, the NFL Network's going to be running NFL programming, right?
Yeah.
But like, how about the Major League Baseball Network? Or so, like, so, I guess they got baseball going on. Somebody that has nothing going on during the NFL Draft Network, like Animal Planet or something.
Yeah.
Just run Draft Day over and over and over again. If you got any others, hit us up.
I have one.
Oh, hit me.
So in Avengers Endgame, they fast forward 5 years to the year 2023. So all of 2023, we should just watch Avengers Endgame. Someone should just have that movie playing on a loop.
Not a specific date?
Nope.
You just want that?
They just went to 2023.
I feel like that, I mean, I don't know if they'll still be doing it in 2023 because they'll probably replace it with more Marvel movies. But like at least once a week, it's on TNT.
Yeah.
Like if you want to catch that, you can. So, okay. So you want a channel that puts Endgame on.
Just that's all they play.
All of 2023.
All of 2023.
Got some other ones. Somebody said the Patriot on July 4th. Too bad. Independence Day is going on Independence Day.
Yep.
I realize that the Patriot sounds good for July 4th, but when you have a movie called Independence Day, that's
going to
take precedence.
Place on Independence Day.
Yep. We can do Pearl Harbor. I didn't like the movie, but there's no reason not to run it on December 7th every year.
Okay.
Pearl Harbor, put it on somebody. Some people are saying Caddyshack on Saturday or Sunday of the Masters. I'd be okay. I'll hear that.
Okay.
But I don't know. You kind of want to be watching the Masters. I don't know. Glory Road on the Saturday of Final Four. And then a lot of people have things that they want to put on either Halloween for a scary movie. I mean, I'd be okay with Scream being the one that's on Halloween, personally, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if a movie is called Halloween and it's an iconic Halloween movie, I feel like it gets precedent.
You know what? They should air Happy Gilmore, because Happy Gilmore gets cut from the hockey team when the Canes cut down their final day of rosters.
For roster cuts?
Yeah, for
Happy
roster
Gilmore
cuts,
every
Happy
day?
Gilmore.
Or is there a day traditionally where like hockey and golf collide? That could be Happy Gilmore Day.
Mm.
I think those
the
are,
Masters, probably.
Those are most of the ones that we got mentioned. So, yeah, somebody said Jaws during Shark Week. I'm like, no, that's not what I want.
No.
That's the opposite of what I want. Hit us up at DHPIV or at The Fan Rookie if you have any other suggestions on movies that should play for the whole day on that one day of the year. I kind of like I would love it if like a teacher played Dazed and Confused as like the last thing before letting you out of school for the summer. School's out for. But yeah, Christmas and Halloween, there's a lot of fighting for this. It's going to be hard to own Christmas Day. If I'm giving it to anything on Christmas Day, it's probably It's a Wonderful Life, maybe. Either that or Die Hard. One of those two. A lot of nominations.
Yeah, I'd say Christmas is hard. Because you have all the Hallmark movies, but they have their own channel anyway.
That's true. They do already have their own channel. All right. I am getting some suggestions in the text and Twitter. Got some people that are jokesters giving me suggestions that I can't say on air. I appreciate that, people. Shout out to folks who like to give answers that they know I can't say on air. Do I get an explanation when I get a song like this? I feel like I need an explanation.
Well, you remember from our Sports Channel 8 days?
I feel like I deserve an explanation.
Okay, remember our Sports Channel 8 days?
Yeah, I do. Painfully, yes.
Wow. It hurt.
No.
Oh, okay. But so I was like,
it hurts to remember them.
I mean, just, okay.
Yeah, not pain. Not like I have painful memories of working with you.
Okay. Well, remember our guy Kenny Omega of all AEW?
Okay.
Remember how he came out with the entrance where the announcer?
North Carolina.
Yeah, we do like that. We like that.
Well, that's his entrance.
Okay.
So I was wondering if you would recall all right. this.
Nah. I like the part where the guy says North Carolina way more than I like the actual
North
entrance.
Yeah. North Carolina.
That should be his intro music. Like that, you just loop
that
together like three times and he's at the ring, right? He doesn't have to go that far. Better than whatever this is. We've been talking about college football. Once again, possibly altering the college sports landscape. Last week, it was the news that Southern Cal and UCLA are moving to the Big Ten, which raised questions about who could possibly be next. And here in the ACC, it's interesting. The conversation in the first couple rounds of conference realignment, the conferences that looked vulnerable were the Big East, the American, the middle tier conferences, right? Mm-hmm. And the ACC looked to be on the strong side of that. Well, now power seems to be gravitating towards only a few conferences and not necessarily a Power Five. Like, we were all about calling ourselves part of the Power Five as the ACC, making sure we would not recognize conferences that tried to refer to as a Power Six and add themselves. I think the AAC wanted a Power Six in football. I think Big East wanted a Power Six in basketball. But the AAC is like, no. The ACC is like, no. It's a Power Five. We're in it.
Yeah, we're the third one, but we're in it.
Or the fourth, or sometimes the fifth. Now it looks like there's a Power Two, mm-hmm. and the ACC ain't in it, right? So the conversation before was, who might the ACC add? That's still part of the conversation. But now, for the first time, more seriously, they're looking at the more scary hypothetical is, what teams could possibly be leaving? Where would they go, and how would that work? I continue to maintain, and again, we'll try and talk to people who are do more investigation, more connected, know more people to talk about, you know, what is being discussed among conference ADs in the ACC right now. What, if anything, can you get from sources inside the league office? And of course, nobody trusts anybody else. If you talk to somebody at one school in the ACC and you say, what have you heard from the other people? The next follow-up question should be, well, do you believe what those people are telling you, right? But I thought this was an interesting tweet from Mark Ennis. He's one of the guys who covers Louisville. Funny dude, you know, obviously a Louisville fan and covers, he might not like me calling him a Louisville fan, covers Louisville and has for a long time and knows the fan base well there and knows the fans and probably prefers to see when Louisville wins, even if he himself is an objective reporter at times. But this is one of the things that this whole thing has left a sour taste in people's mouths. NC State is the perfect, like, study of this, right? If you are from, and I can't explain all the reasons for this, I can give you some of them. If you live here in the Triangle and you don't pay attention to national television and talking and who gets higher up in ESPN headlines or whose coach ends up getting interviewed on big shows on TV more or whatever it is, if you just watch the two teams here locally, UNC and NC State, especially over the past 5 to 8 years, you might see some things that one school does better than the other, but ultimately they seem like they're playing on the same field, right? They're pretty level. Football, some years one has more expectations, one is rebuilding, but in the most part, they're pretty even. Basketball, UNC clearly an edge, and they have had that. So that's the one area where even locally you'd say, okay, I could see why they're bigger. But many years you could go to games at both schools, their home games, and they would still look the same. Plenty of interested fans in NC State. This year, I think attendance suffered a little bit as the team was bad, right? Then go on down the line of like all the other sports, and there's some sports that NC State is really good at and traditionally does well in: wrestling, running, swimming. You know, the cross country, the track, the swimming, all those, they're going to beat
basketball.
Women's basketball, they're beating UNC regularly on those. UNC has sports, it's lacrosses, it's women's soccer, you know, men's soccer is pretty good. Some other sports where you expect them to beat NC State in, year out, most of the time, right? But if you just look locally, if you just talk to fans, you'd be like, I see a lot of NC State fans, I see a lot of UNC fans. They seem like it makes sense. They both play in the same conference and they play at the same level of sport, right? That seems to make sense from a local level. But if you go to, I don't know, a random Dick's Sporting Goods in Oregon or Minnesota or Arizona, they might carry a UNC hat or jersey and they ain't likely carrying an NC State hat or jersey, right? And again, there are reasons for this. I mean, you know, Nike and Michael Jordan helped elevate UNC's status. UNC being the flagship of its university system, it got elevated itself for a long time. I think, again, locally, I think you would say, oh, well, UNC specializes in these programs and NC State specializes in these programs, and those are different types of programs. And NC State's got the better textile school and UNC's got the better journalism school. They have different specialties, but, like, they're both playing in the same field, right? Still correct. But ultimately, because of a number of factors, UNC carries a more national brand than NC State. And that stinks to hear if you're an NC State fan who has filled up Carter Finley Stadium and been loud and seen broadcasters be like, wow, this is one of the coolest environments I've ever seen. And you look over at Keenan and you're like, that place isn't as cool as our place, right? Like, why? I mean, and ECU does this too, of like, we got one of the coolest environments and a rabid fan base and a lot of people who support our football program. Why are we not talked about sometimes in included in these conversations of who might be one, you know, a gym to add to your conference? So without going into all details of why, just the way it is North Carolina is more of a national brand than NC State. And this goes to something you were talking about earlier, Dennis, about traditions and appealing to the fans in the stands. And Mark tweeted out, he says, this discussion, and this is kind of how it's shaken out. And I mean, you see it already on, like, on Twitter between State fans who are like mad that that potential conference realignment could leave them out. I see NC State fans that are happy. They're like, who cares? Like, we always talk about the ACC screwing us over. Let's go to the American or something. Let's get, you know, like, if UNC is moving on, let's move on ourselves and not get stuck in this conference, whatever. But Mark's tweet, I think, sums it up well. He says, this discussion is demoralizing for fans of places like, and these are other schools that fall into the same category of NC State, of like, if you didn't know history or care about national brands and you just paid attention to what happened in the arenas and on the athletic fields of these schools, you'd be like, these are pretty good programs. He said Louisville, Virginia Tech, Utah, NC State, TCU, Iowa State, Baylor, West Virginia, Colorado. They win way more than they lose. He's talking specifically about football, but I think this is true of, like, a lot of their athletic programs. Mm-hmm. They have passionate and quirky fan bases. Quirky may be a kinder word for overpassionate sometimes. You know, fan bases that'll come at you even if you write a totally factual, totally fair thing, but it's against their school, they won't like it. And they're completely at the mercy of suits who say that Vanderbilt and Rutgers belong and that NC State and Iowa State do not. And I think that is, speaks to what you were saying of, like, right now the game is more about how much can ESPN charge for advertisements on a game for, right? And UNC and NC State, every year here is a huge game. We're going to talk about it the week of. People are going to rearrange their holiday plans to be there the Friday after Thanksgiving. We've put it on the Friday after Thanksgiving because we finally got around to realizing it should be treated like the rivalry that it is. I mean, again, it will be a huge deal locally. But unfortunately, a North Carolina versus Michigan game or North Carolina UCLA is a better looking advertising game for a college football package, right? That, I mean, remember there were years where UNC, NC State, before the proliferation of basically every college football game is on TV or streaming somewhere, there were years where it wasn't on TV. And that seems crazy because UNC and NC State fans are circling it, if not as the biggest game every year, certainly one of the two or three biggest games on their schedule, right? Don't at me, State or UNC fans who want to pretend like it's not, okay? I don't want to hear it. If it's not the number one most important game on your schedule, it's two or three every year. And yet, one year was left off TV, right? So I do think it's the point you were making of, we care less about the fan in the stand, the fan who would buy a ticket or rearrange their weekend for an NC State-UNC rivalry game, and the decisions are being made for the what would make the TV game, right? The UNC versus Texas or the UNC, I guess we're putting them in the Big Ten, UNC versus Ohio State. Again, heck, even UNC versus Rutgers may be more attractive to ESPN, who could say, oh, it's over in Rutgers. We got a crew right there in Bristol. We can do an outdoor thing the week of at Rutgers. And because UNC is a big enough brand, like, well, we'll put that on at noon on ESPN. Whereas UNC, NC State, they're like, eh, that's kind of a local thing. You can have that on the ACC Network or Raycom. That's not an ESPN, you know, proper game, right? But, like, anybody who pays attention would know that UNC, NC State, even if they're both unranked and even if they both come in 6-6 like they do every year or whatever, is a bigger game for a fan going to that game than UNC versus insert random Big Ten team here that would sell well on TV but just wouldn't matter to the people watching it. Again, I have no doubt that ESPN would put Northwestern UNC noon on ESPN. It's a great slate. You have North Carolina fans will tune in, and UNC NC State just doesn't seem to have the same buzz for them. And so it results in, he mentioned State, Louisville, Virginia Tech. These are good programs. But for whatever reason, the history, they don't have quite the name, the national brand, and they may. And right now, nothing's even happened. Nobody's left the ACC, but you see in the reports and rumors, basically these fans being told, you're a fan of a second-class school, and you're at the mercy of other people's decisions and how they're going to do the conference realignment. It's interesting. I talked too long. I will not be able to tell you why scoring in baseball is total BS, but it is. I witness it personally. There's nothing against scorekeepers, but it's just a reminder of, much like all stats, there's objective stats, like if a basket is made, it was made. But there's stats like assists and hits and errors that are kind of at the whim of some human who may or may not have incentive to call something a hit or an error. I'm just saying, therefore, baseball stats, baseball scoring, not the scoring like the runs, but scoring, hits, and errors, kind of fraudulent. I'll get into that a little bit later this week. But with a few minutes we have remaining, we have just enough time to decide if things are overrated, underrated, or properly rightly rated. This is Rightly Rated.
I think we've been overrated. I think they've been underrated.
All right, we're going to start with a couple animals. First up, are chickens overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? This comes up because the chicken police got called in Florida. Much like the backup Terry, you need the video for full effect here, but we'll give the audio of what the chicken police coming to town sounds like.
When Nick says the rooster followed him and attacked him.
His neck flares up, and he's doing his thing, and he's trying to jump up at me.
He was trying to get the animal away.
And I try to hit it, but the chicken's jumping up at me, and I accidentally knocked it in the head. You know, call it a lucky shot, whatever.
But when Dave Felice came home, all he saw was his rooster dead in a ditch.
I said, I'm calling JSO. I called JSO. JSO didn't do nothing. Then a couple days later, I realized I could call animal control.
And in late June, James Nix went to jail for animal cruelty.
Next thing you know, he calls the chicken police on me.
While the neighbors continue the fight, Nick says he never should have been arrested.
Chickens are dying every day, people, at churches, Popeyes, and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Really.
That's the clincher right there. Chickens are dying every day. He didn't get the Bojangles mentioned in there that I would have liked, but there's a great scene where the reporter is like, while these two figure out the next steps, and they're like standing in their driveways, like yelling at each other. It's just fantastic. But yeah, one guy killed another guy's chicken, claims it was self-defense. I'm not sure I believe that guy, especially when he worked in the, I don't know, I guess it was a lucky shot, hit him one time. I'm like, I don't know if I believe you. Chicken, overrated, underrated, or rightly rated, Dennis Cox?
I'm going to go rightly rated with chickens.
Chicken as a food, rightly rated. Chicken as a pet. Maybe underrated, because I've never raised them. They'd probably be more of a pain than I thought, but I feel like I would kind of get into raising chickens.
But next they give up, us eggs.
That's true. Well, do chickens give us eggs, or do eggs give us chickens?
Yes.
Yeah. Next up on Rightly Rated, let's keep it with animals. Are snakes overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? Specifically, are zebra cobras? And yes, that's a flashback to 1 year ago.
Yes.
When the zebra cobra was on the loose. Today, the Raleigh City Council votes on the dangerous animal ordinance. I don't think I have that exactly right. But it's to possibly ban all types of snakes, also like alligators, wolves, anything that basically, if it got loose, we'd have to put the city on lockdown for a day like we did when the zebra cobra was out. Snakes, are they overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
Get all snakes out of here, overrated.
Snakes are underrated, man. I've come to learn... I, you know, next door is bad for a lot of things, but they're pretty good at shaming all the snake haters out there.
Yeah.
And they're like, yo, dude, those snakes are eating all the bad things that you don't want in the yard. The snakes are eating your chipmunks and like your spiders that you want to kill. They're eating the mosquitoes. Like, all the things that you are scared of biting you are actually biting all the things that you don't want in your yard. So snakes, underrated. Keep them around.
Now, Snakes, the character from Home Alone, very underrated.
All right. And finally,
Snakes.
Is Usher over? Overrated, underrated, rightly rated? This comes up because this little piece of audio became a viral meme this weekend. Here's Usher. Yeah, just a simple watch this at a Tiny Desk concert. Is Usher overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? Dennis Cox.
Usher's helping people find their seats, underrated.
I walked into that one. Not Usher's, just Usher. You're going to get mad at me on this. This is in the classic. I'm not saying he's bad.
Okay.
I'm just saying he's overrated. I think Usher might be a little bit overrated.
That's fine.
He's still great. He's very great. He's just a little overrated.
This is the Adam Gold Show.